The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to week 12 of K4Wins.com. K4Wins.com. Everything you hear on this show in the next 30 minutes will be found on that website. It's free. Check it out. And if you've been following it, and Kai's going to give us the numbers here in a minute, you've done quite well. As a matter of fact, Kai, tell us how we did the last weekend.
Last weekend, we went to 11-7-1. We didn't have as many plays as usual due to some disagreements here on the size of games. So we didn't put that. But still 231, 130, and 12 overall. So still sitting at 64%, which is remarkable. We have not, knock on wood, had a losing week yet when you combine college and NFL.
Case, and amazing. This is, and I want to go straight to Case on this before we get into some plays and some, just a ledger of, I think, great games. I think this is one of those weekends where you can do, we separate the boys from the men right here. You guys just said there's nothing obvious about this weekend. The most obvious thing about this weekend is there isn't anything very obvious, and that's where it really gets fun. You can really find some cheating in the numbers. Case, we just mentioned we only played 18 plays last week. At the beginning of the year, we could have probably put up 30 or 40. Typically, that's how it goes in gambling, right? Towards the end of the season, the numbers are so doggone tight, it's hard to find value, correct?
Yeah, certainly a lot of people would say that. Of course, I just keep firing away. I probably have a little bit less than I did earlier in the season too, but I might have mentioned this on the starting lineup. I don't know if it was this week or last week, but even a lot of the really big bettors that are shaping the market early in the year that are betting to the limit, and the big betting groups, they check out of college football about a couple weeks ago. A lot of that is because the market's so tight, and a lot of that is college basketball. If you talk to a lot of professionals, say that is the biggest money making opportunity in sports. There's so many teams, that market's tough to price all these. So, I definitely think it's a different game by this time of the year. And also just the data that people are working with that are making the really big bets. I mean, it's all kind of the same for everyone now. We have a pretty big sample on all these teams. We know what they are. Early in the season, it's kind of more of an art, I guess, of how much are you going to pull into expectations, how much are you going to adjust for this or that. Now it's kind of everyone's working on the same playing field. And so, I definitely think the riddle has changed.
He is Case Kiefer, chief editor of the Las Vegas Sun out there in beautiful Sin City, of course. His dad and a man in his own right knows everything about sports. Kip Kiefer, executive director of the Birmingham Racecourse Casino, does fantastic work. Kai Gregory, he's been playing on both sides for about 40 years. He knows everything about line movement and everything there is about gambling. And of course, I'm Tony Curry, sports radio ESPN guy the last 30 years as well. We've got some really interesting games. I'm going to throw a couple of games at you. First of all, we have Tulane, Navy, 8-2 and 7-2. That line's only 7 right now. Missouri, South Carolina is interesting. I know you're going to have something to say about Tennessee and Georgia. Kai, I know that Kip and I are already like just hog wild on one side of that particular thing. You mentioned the Oregon game, only 13.5 against Wisconsin on the road. You got that really weird Kansas 3-6 squad playing a 9-0 BYU team and only catching 2.5. Looks like a slam dunk. There's a reason why Case loves that. Let's start with Texas, Arkansas, though. A nice little twist here. Two teams that hate each other in the SEC. And Kip, I'll start with you. The Longhorns, only one loss on the season. Everything's still there on the table. And there's this Arkansas squad that is just smitten to trip somebody up here late in the season. What do you like?
Well, especially Texas, the hatred in Arkansas for Texas is indescribable. It's said that people in Arkansas hate Texas more than they like themselves. So that says it all. It goes back to 1969, where Richard Nixon helicoptered in for the game between number one and number two for the de facto national championship the last week of the regular season. Texas won the game. Nixon went to the Texas locker room and congratulated the Longhorns on winning the national championship. Of course, Alabama that day hadn't played yet. They were still undefeated. So Nixon made a lot of political enemies with his declaration of Texas as the best team. Arkansas people cannot stand the Longhorns. And I think that's important in this game because for Texas, it's almost like you're having a big party that you're going to be attending. Ending, and you have to go over and cut the grass first. It's just something they have to do to go to Fayetteville, which for Arkansas, this is the Super Bowl. But I'm just not sure Arkansas personnel-wise can even hang. I think Texas has played an embarrassing schedule. I don't know who you would say is a notable win on their dance card this year. I think they're the most overrated team right now in the country. The fact that they're sitting at number three to me is astounding. Their big win is against 5-5 Michigan. I don't like this team. I don't think that I know yours is a precise passer, but he can't move around. I, They're down to their fourth or fifth running back. I don't think their running game is very formidable. I would not be shocked if Arkansas gives them a hell of a game this week. And I'm sure as hell not going to give 14 or 14 and a half points to a Texas team that I think is not that great.
Kyle, up at a 14 and a half, it's down to 12 and a half. Pittman, 22 and 10 ATS as a dog, as a coach there at Arkansas. Of course, he's got Petrino in his back pocket, and 10 and 3 against the spread when he's a double digit dog. What do you like?
You know, I think Quinn's going to come out and go nuts again, just like he did against Florida with the 5 touchdown passes. Wow. Arkansas defense last in the SEC. Maybe they'll play a little bit better at home. I think Taylor Green can put up some points against Texas. I think one of the best bets is probably Texas over their team total at 35 and then over the 57. I thought it opened at 16 and a half, and I saw 12 and 11 and a half today even. And I probably wouldn't lay that. If I'm going to play this game, I'd probably just play the total.
Okay, so what is Vegas saying? What do you say, more importantly?
I haven't bet anything on this game, but I'm pretty befuddled by this line movement, to be honest. Like I said, I just a lot of interest in Arkansas. A lot of people seem to be on Kip's side. I will say I don't necessarily disagree on this game, but I just if we're having a draft right now, who's winning the national championship? Texas is my first pick. So I guess it's a big difference from Kip in that regard. I just wish
they'd have played somebody. The schedule is embarrassing.
Yeah, I get that the schedule hasn't been great, but I think, you lay out their schedule for a lot of other teams. I don't think other teams are dominating to the level that they are. I mean, they're outgaining like all these teams they play by like 3 or 4 yards per play. I mean, they had one bad game against Georgia. So I don't know. In general, I want to be on Texas right now. I can see why this is a little bit of a tough spot. Arkansas, coming off a bye, all the hatred there. Kip made some good points. So again, not a game I have a bet on, but the more it keeps going down, I mean, I saw 11 and a half this morning. If it got to 10, there's no way I'm holding
that's
back.
Crazy.
I'm firing if it's Texas minus 10.
Yeah. So these lines are just confounding to me that of these supposedly glorified teams are going to get first round byes in the playoffs of being, numbers that are diminishing all the time. It's just hard for me to kind of comprehend.
Well, that's why we got to count on teams like Wisconsin to get it done against the Oregon Ducks. I'll be honest with you. They have a perfect record. I still think they're the best team in college football. They're right there with Texas. And we're sitting here looking at that 13 and a half line. I know that 14 point is just a huge number, but at the same time, I am sick and tired of people saying it's so tough to play at Wisconsin. It's so tough to play at Wisconsin. Oh, I hear that every single week. I baloney. I keep hearing it's so difficult to play at Wisconsin. They're 5-4 in the season, but they're catching 13 and a half. Case, what do you see?
Well, I guess I'm going to have an unpopular opinion on this one too. I'd be pretty shocked if Oregon lost. That being said, I bet Wisconsin plus 14 and a half earlier in the week. And I'm not trying to pass post all these and say like, look how good of lines I have too. If we stumble on a game where I took a bad number, I'll say, but I don't know, to me the Badgers were really trending up before that Penn State game. I mean, they had blown out like 3 straight opponents. It seemed like they'd found something in Braden Locke. And then they're just not the Wisconsin of old. Penn State absolutely manhandled them up front. They were so beaten up going into the Iowa game. The Iowa game was ugly. Don't get me wrong. That's a big mar on the record, how badly they got beat by Iowa. But like I said, the injury report was long then. I think that game kind of got out of hand. I think they're going to be a little healthier now going into this game, coming off a bye. I think they can look more like the team that had found something. And as much as I like Oregon, and I wish Oregon would be my top draft pick to win the national championship, because that's my biggest futures position. And they're just not a team that, I mean, they've kind of lacked explosiveness this year. They're not really blowing anyone out. I think the world of Dan Lanning, and I really like the team overall. Like I said, I don't expect them to lose, but I kind of feel like this might just be like a little bit of a struggle and Oregon pulls out a 7 or 10 point win.
Kyle, are they going to stay undefeated?
Oregon stays undefeated. I mean, good grief. Wisconsin's 2-14, their last 16 games against top 25, 0-5 under Luke Fickell. Oregon's a better team. Okay, give some points for that. Me and Case will split out. I got minus 13. He's got 14 and a half. So Oregon by 14, we both win.
Kip, if it sounds like a duck and looks like a duck, what does it do?
I wouldn't touch this game. I don't like Wisconsin. They've let me down a couple times when I actually drank the Powerade I don't say Kool-Aid because I don't drink that. But, you know, I was all over. I abandoned them when they led at halftime against Penn State. And like Kay said, we're not a match for a team that I also consider kind of mediocre. They're already selling playoff tickets for first round games at Penn State with the embarrassing slate of accomplishment that they have. It just drives me crazy. This is a team that's such a phony. But anyway, that being said, I don't know which way I would go on this game, because I came on here and absolutely 2 weeks ago said Iowa would absolutely crush Wisconsin, because I just don't think Luke Fickell is on the right track there. He's not making any progress. Right when you started to think maybe he's getting it going in the right direction, this is another team in the Big Ten, surprisingly, and Case will testify, I'm sure, and convict me of hating the Big Ten my entire life. But I just think so many of these teams are just nothing to write home about. And I do have regard for Oregon. I have zero for Wisconsin.
By the way, anyone ever have turducken?
No,
you should try it. It's really good. Speaking of ducks, yeah, duck
John, inside of a John Madden reference.
Duck, yeah. inside of a chicken inside of a turkey. It's boneless. They got a Mr. Pease. You should check it out. They should sponsor the show. It's fantastic. A turducken. You're getting three different birds and there's no bones in it. I don't know how they pulled the
bones. Okay, if Oregon wins and covers, I will go get myself a turducken.
There you go. Another SEC game that is really, really important. Normally, I would not say that between LSU and Florida. This time of the season, I would. Brian Kelly can't lose four games. I'm just telling
you. He did last year.
Well, he but then that's exactly why he can't do it this year. He started off hot 2 weeks ago. He was in the playoff mix, and everyone's like, okay, here he is. This is why they brought him to LSU. He's now 6-3.
Speaking of phonies.
And here comes Florida, 1-3 in their last four. But good gosh almighty, they've lost to Texas. They've lost to Georgia. They've lost to Tennessee. I mean, rough schedule for Florida. Maybe that's why they're only catching four Ks.
Yeah, I'm kind of throwing my hands up at this one too. Early in the week, I mean, even before the week, I guess Sunday at openers, I kind of almost fired on LSU, but I guess I didn't realize just how close DJ Lagway might be to coming back. And now the rumblings are that he's actually going to play. I mean, I think they've definitely developed him well, you know, in the limited time this season. So if he plays, I think they have a chance here. You know, I mean, every week, I'll be nice this week. Every week I've come on here and said how much I dislike this LSU team and don't think they're for real. So I'm kind of surprised. I was thinking about laying points with them on the road. But yeah, I think everyone's just catching up to what we've kind of seen the whole year. I do think they have a better defensive coordinator now, and the defense had played a little bit better before the Alabama game, but I still just don't think they have a ton of talent there. I don't think they did a good, great job in the portal. So yeah, generally not a team I'm looking to lay points with on the road, and I don't see myself being involved here.
Yep. What's your thoughts on this particular twist here in the SEC?
I don't know. You know, Florida, everybody was, I actually had callers to the radio show on Saturday morning thinking Florida had a chance at Texas last week, which was laughable with a walk-on Ivy League quarterback at the controls. The game turned out to be just as expected. These kind of sudden blips where teams that are terrible start to get some recognition and that was because of Georgia's uninspired effort against them, that they actually started to think that they were credible. I don't think Florida's credible. If Lagway plays, I think this game's a dead toss-up, because I just think LSU, you know, Nussmeier, yeah, he can throw the ball through a brick wall, but you know, their running game, Case said it a couple of weeks ago, and he's right about this. LSU's down to their fourth or fifth guy on the depth chart as far as running backs. They have a hard time running the football. Nussmeier is going to make some mistakes the game. The interception he threw right when they were getting back in the game in the start of the second half against Alabama was absolutely unforgivable. It's a team. I don't know. The Brian Kelly administration, I don't think, is very stable. They lost Harold Perkins Jr. earlier in the year, and that's killed them on the edge, because quarterbacks are running wild against LSU. Look at the second half, Marcel Reed against A&M, and what Jalen Milroe did to them last week was criminal. So I'm not high on either one of these teams. The line's skimpy enough. I still think LSU probably has a better roster, so I'd have to hold my nose and go that way, but it's not a game I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, that coon-ass accent that Jim Kelly, Brian Kelly used several years years ago. Not so good. I remember about 4 years ago, we had Tim Brando on Tony Curry Radio. We had an extensive interview with him, and we asked him which number one protege of Nick Saban will win a national championship first. We had Kirby Smart in there. He said Billy Napier would be the first coach to win a national title.
Guess, Tim.
So when we heard that from Tim Brando 4 years ago, we should have known. Kai, what do you see in this game?
So I think this game is a perfect time to teach gamblers that you don't necessarily have to make this play before the game. You go and you see Lagway's supposed to be back, but if you've ever strained a hamstring, you know he could come out real quickly. So
instead
of betting before the game, wait till halftime and look at that. You know, Florida's missing three starters in their secondary. Their starting safety is moving to corner. They're bringing in the kid that's going to play safety hasn't played a game for them yet. You got two coaches that nobody trusts. So instead of betting it, step away, look at it, watch the first half if that's what you want to do, and then play something in the second half instead of jumping on something in the first half or for the game that you're just not sure about.
There you go.
Good advice.
Hey, I want to go to the ACC real quick, only because my son goes to Clemson. He needed either Pitt or Miami to lose two of their last three games. And, of course, both teams favored all three of their games. And guess what? He got a twofer last week. Pittsburgh loses and Miami loses. Now Clemson goes to the junkyard to play Pitt, and they're giving up 12 against a team with the same record. If they can knock them off head-to-head, they have an opportunity to play in the ACC championship, and Clemson could actually be in the final 12 if they win. Kay, is that a possibility?
You can't say it's not a possibility, but I'm still skeptical on Clemson. That being said, you probably take everything I say about them with a grain of salt this year. I can't get this team right when I think they're going to show up. That they don't. They blow out teams when I pick against them. And I'm glad I can put my example into shape here, saying I would say when I took a bad number, I bet some Pittsburgh plus 10.5. Like you said, now we got 12.5. I mean, we want to talk about historically, which I don't put really any stock into, and I'm making numbers, but Pittsburgh's given Clemson a lot of trouble. I do think Narduzzi, maybe has some schematic things he does there. I don't know. Clemson, to me, just such a grab bag. You talk about like playing a weak schedule. I mean, whenever they've stepped up in class, they haven't looked very good. I don't know that Pitt's a step up in class. I've been pretty skeptical about the Panthers, but they do make some explosive plays. I think maybe they keep it close here. I would say Clemson wins, but I definitely wouldn't be laying that big of a number.
Kai, as goes, Clemson goes the ACC. They got a shot at going playing their championship.
You know, Pitt's defense hadn't gotten turnovers the last two games, and that was their success early in the season. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Kubiak's going to go in and turn the ball over a ton. I would probably, if I touch this game, you know, play the under in this. I think Clemson's defense will feast on Holton. The redshirt freshman quarterback for Pitt. I just think they're going to get after him. You know, last game he went out at the end, so if he doesn't play, you're going to have a backup. That's another game that I would probably watch the first half and then go from there at halftime, but I'd probably play the under if I had something I had to do.
Kip, any thoughts on the ACC?
Yeah, real quick. To me, Pitt was the biggest fraud in the unbeaten ranks leading into the game 2 weeks ago at SMU. I was strong on the Mustangs, and they blew Pitt out. Last week, I was all over Virginia plus 7.5, and I said on this show that I thought Virginia could maybe even win that game because Pitt's going to be butthurt from being brought down to earth so emphatically. But now, this is a team that was getting a lot of attention, undefeated. Now they're going to get almost two touchdowns at home. I couldn't take Clemson here. If Pitt gets back, and Kai nailed it, Pitt was winning games because their defense was creating turnovers and opportunities for their kind of questionable offense. I certainly could not give the points with Clemson on the road here. I'd have to take Pitt if I had any interest in this game.
Some looks at NFL towards the end of the show here. This is K4Wins.com, our podcast we do every single week. It airs late Friday afternoons and then it goes all day on Saturday. And a lot of our plays, of course, run the late Saturday nights as well as Sundays as well. So make sure you check it out and you go back and check all of our documentation, k4wins.com. It's for real. And we're hitting about 64-65% of the season. We have not had a losing week. Kai, look into your crystal ball and tell me what sticks out to you on this most inobvious weekend in college football.
You know, I'm in the minority, I think, but I like BYU. I just think team of destiny there, you know, the BYU Mormons are literally on a mission. So I kind of like that. We hadn't talked about Utah and Colorado. Utah coming off a heartbreaking loss where, you know, a lot of people think they shouldn't have lost that game, the ending. Colorado team that I think really going well. I think it looks like Utah's defense is banged up. But interesting stat, Utah's offensive line has 297 games played on that offensive line.
Wow.
They could give that new, you know, revamped Colorado team some struggle. But I would play Colorado over their team total and Colorado to win that game, you know, just me. You know, we still haven't talked about Missouri and South Carolina and Drinkwitz and his layoff that he thinks he's going to make. With Missouri was probably the most overrated team in the history of college football at the beginning of the year. They have two decent players, and now one of them's out. And Pine is
They've been overrated out. Since they joined the SEC, have they not?
They made it out of the West or out of the East twice.
So, I know.
I do think. I do think my beloved Vols are in trouble this weekend. If Nico plays, and it's very questionable. I think he's going to play, but Dylan Sampson is beat up. Backup running back Bishop is already confirmed out. I know George is missing all three of their starting running backs. But if Tennessee's defense, I mean, play the under in that game maybe, but it's really low scoring. But, you know, you ask, I threw some out. I mean, I think South Carolina might actually cover 14 points against Missouri, which is really, really scary to me. But again, against one of the most overrated teams, you know, in the history of football. And I think Ohio State goes to Wrigley Field and absolutely lays a beat down on Northwestern.
All right, Kip, what you looking for in your crystal ball there? What sticks out at you?
I say South Carolina does blow out Missouri. Drew Pine is maybe the worst quarterback piloting a major, quote, contending, unquote, team. Brady Cook, very doubtful, almost for sure not going to play again. I think Drew Pine is just pathetic, and that makes Eli Drinkwitz pathetic, because unlike Florida gets into their third string walk-on quarterback from the Ivy League, this is even worse. He went into the season with Drew Pine as his backup quarterback. To me, that's a terrible indictment of what a lousy coach he is, because this kid cannot play. So South Carolina is surging. I don't like the big number, but I do have them on my list, because I think if this game starts to get away from Missouri early, it's going to be just like we saw in Tuscaloosa. They're just going to throw in the towel, because I don't think this team is well coached, and I don't think that they're very committed to the cause. I have to go to a place where I'm not going to make a pick on the game. I'm going to pick on the starting lineup on Saturday. I'm going to take Kansas as my upset outright winner of the week, only because I'm so interested in how this line can be 2.5. This is the number 6 undefeated team in the country, presumed to be the team that's going to get a first round bye. And KU at 3-6 is a 2.5-point dog on the road. That makes no sense to me. How can that compute? That must mean that there's serious problems with the numbers, the analytics of this game, or maybe BYU has guys that are beat up, because Utah physically just beat the hell out of them last week. That was the most dominant physical game by a team that ends up losing that I've ever seen. So that game baffles me. But I did take Kansas as a possible upsetter, because that line stinks to high heaven. I like Illinois. I think Brent Bilby has done a pretty good job this year. He hasn't competed against the top flight teams, but they're at home this week playing Michigan State. I don't think Jonathan Smith's gotten that much done with the Spartans. I still think they're terrible. Illinois is only a 2.5-point pick, which I think is really suspiciously low. I don't know if it's a miscalculation, but I like the Fighting Illini in that one. And let's see. I'm sorry, Kai, but I've seen Georgia in this position before. This is one of the few times in the last 4 years that Georgia absolutely positively has to win this game. Tennessee's banged up. I don't think they've been very impressive. Tennessee on their resume only has the one loss, but it's the worst loss of the year amongst the contenders in the SEC. They lose at Arkansas, who's been blown out by everybody else that's played them recently in Fayetteville. I think Georgia's going to run up and down the field and be unstoppable in this game. I know Tennessee's defense has been credible, but I'm also looking at who Tennessee's beaten. And other than Alabama, which was kind of a fluky game, three turnovers in the first half, Alabama should have been ahead 21 or 24 to nothing at the half. It was only 7-0, and Dylan Sampson took over that game. The Josh Heupel offense has basically diminished down to handing the ball to Sampson 30 times a game. And even if Nico plays, he's still going to be pretty. I think his biggest contribution lately has been his legs, and I can't see them really being that anxious to run him because he's going to get clobbered and get knocked out of the game that way. So I'm biased toward Georgia, but I just think this is going to be one of those games like when Lane Kiffin came into Athens last year this same weekend, thinking they had a chance to go to the SEC championship game. Georgia won 52-17. I think we're in a similar place this year.
Case, according to the latest ESPN FPIs, Kansas is 33rd in the country. BYU is 65th. It's not really even close on the field. On paper, this team should lose. You just mentioned South Carolina last week as your biggest play of the year. It blew the doors off, and I congratulated you on that. Is Kansas a bigger play for you?
No, okay. Not bigger than South Carolina, but it is close. When I think I mentioned before we were talking that I played some on the money line and some on the point spread on Kansas. Look how far we've come. Kip and I would disagree on every game at the beginning of the year. This week on the starting lineup, Kansas also my upset pick. So we in lock agreement that. There.
Wow. I mean, look, and we were both all over South Carolina last week. I think I even declared it the best bet of the year.
Yeah. If we restarted the Big 12 season today, everyone 0-0, and we had odds on who was going to win the Big 12, Kansas would be like the third choice. BYU would be like the sixth choice. You look at the records, and that the only reason to be surprised by this line is the records. You look at any other numbers, any all-encompassing of how efficient these teams have been, Kansas has blown BYU off the field on a per-play basis, on a per-drive basis. Kai did say one thing I agree with. They do seem like the team of destiny, like Joseph Smith or whoever is watching over them and giving them every break here. But I mean, and even I'm not a big eye test guy, but even an eye test guy, if you watch these games, like say have an alien that's never seen football before, come down and throw them into a random Kansas drive. They're, oh my God, this guy Jalen Daniels is unbelievable. He can run for first downs. He's slinging first downs. They got the best running back in school history. Then you go to BYU, Jake Retzlaff. I mean, Drew Pine might be more accurate than him. He just throws the ball everywhere. Somehow it hits off someone's helmet, off another guy's hands, into the BYU receiver's arms. I don't get the Cougar. And the other thing is, I know a lot of people are skeptical about Indiana because of their schedule. I actually like Indiana. And the one thing about the Hoosiers is I think Kurt Cignetti, pound for pound, is like the best coach in America. I don't like Kalani Sitake at all. He makes terrible in-game decisions. He's not a guy I like to trust with my money. So there's just too many red flags on BYU for it not to catch up to him at some point, in my opinion. Maybe this isn't the week. Kansas has been the opposite of the team of destiny. They just find ways to lose at the end of the game. Maybe kind of like what you were talking about with UAB, that might've been off camera, how they just, you know, kind of can't handle success. But so I just feel like if you're backing BYU, it's more of a feel thing, anything, you know, more numbers based. Kansas just looks like the better team to me. So I'm on Kansas there. And I also agree. I haven't got to the window with this one yet, cause it is a little inflated, but seems like the one thing we might be all in agreement on is I do kind of expect Georgia to roll this week. It just seems like the situation for Tennessee is not great on top of the injuries. This is just the type of spot where Kirby Smart usually has his team ready to go. So I don't know. I have 9.5 question mark right here on my sheet with every game. So I still might bet a little bit of that when we get off here.
That's the only thing that scares me about this game is everyone seems to be loving Georgia, including myself. I'd take anything under 10. Go ahead, Kip.
Tony, I should have mentioned Georgia. This is only their fourth home game this year. They've only played 3 games in Athens this year. But Auburn had 5 games in a row to start their year.
Yeah, they didn't leave town.
Ohio State played 7 out of their first 8 at home. It's just insane that Georgia hasn't been home. This is Saturday night. The crowd's going to be ridiculous. Georgia's really positioned here. I don't think they're that much better than Tennessee, this edition of the Georgia team, but it's just a bad spot for Tennessee and the optimum spot for Georgia.
Georgia's outscored Josh Heupel, Smart against Heupel, 106-40 the last 3 games. 2 of those 3 games, obviously, between the hedges, and Smart's 13-6 against against the spread as a head coach, caught up with between a 3 and a 6 point spread. I love Georgia in this particular case, and this 9. So I'm going to take that all day long. This is one of those things like which bird's going to fly off the wire first. If you're one of those guys that's betting on women's basketball and birds, you got an issue. You got a problem. Call the 1-800 Get Gamblers hotline. I'm looking at the Air Force Oregon State game, and I've looked this game over a million times. Troy Calhoun, I think he's a great coach. I know Air Force is a lousy football team. I do love seeing teams get better throughout the year. There's a lot of teams that were really, really bad at the beginning of the year. Ball State, another squad who almost won this past week. They suck. They were terrible the first 3 weeks of the year. They're playing some good ball inspired. Troy Calhoun, 5-0 against the spread as a home dog in the month of November since he's been at Air Force. He has won all five of those games outright. And so he runs the ball 80 times last week against Fresno State. That was one of those games where they were an underdog and won the game outright. I think they do it again at Oregon State, one of the worst five teams in college football when it comes to preventing the run. So I think Air Force is catching 3. I think maybe the wrong team is going to be favored here. That almost was my dog of the week. Northwestern, only the second time in 20 years, is catching 4 touchdowns as an underdog. The last time that happened against Ohio State in 2022, they only lost by 14. I think they're going to get it done. Since 2020, and Kai or Kip, you brought this up. You wanted to know about teams that were underdogs, double-digit underdogs in the SEC. Since 2020, conference play, Big Ten teams that were catching 30 points or more are 10-3 against the spread. You just don't see spreads that large. And when you do, take the dog all day long. Also, the over is 36-8 in this series, the last 44 games. So take the over 46 in that game. I'm loving Northwestern, the over 46. Normally, if I take the dog, I take the under. If I take the favorite, I take the over. This time, I'm going to switch it up a little bit. Arkansas, 22-10 against the spread as a dog, Pittman is, and also 10-3 as a double-digit dog. I'm going to take Arkansas. If I can get them at 14, I'm going to love that 14.5, and I'll go that route. Anything else that's sticking out to you guys real quick or anything you want to mention on anyone else's stuff?
Hey, just for the record, also, just when people go and look at us, and I know this show, we're talking about college football all the time, but we do have the NHL guru down here, you know, on the bottom. And we've been doing pretty well. NBA and college basketball, we're getting kicked up. So, you know, hopefully we've talked and we'll have that podcast going, you know, for basketball as we get, you know, further in. But if you're looking at it, you're looking at K4, you're looking at our Twitter or on the site, we're going to keep posting the NHL, the NBA, and college basketball as well.
K4wins.com. And don't forget that college hoops. So like the man down there in the right-hand corner said, man, right now the value is really good. There's like 8,000 basketball games. It's almost like betting on soccer. It's like betting on, someone says, take a Lipscomb tonight. And it takes me like an hour and a half to find that line because there's so many basketball games. K4wins.com, K4wins.com. Another winning week coming your way right here at K4wins.com. Thanks for listening. We'll get after it. I cannot believe we're getting ready for bowl season, guys. And that first 12 already came out. Thanksgiving's coming up. It's a very special time of the year. You want to have some money in your stockings before Christmas time. Don't be go broke with your guy. Go with K4 Wins. Thanks for watching. Very good, guys.
I'm gonna send a text to y'all because, like, I have 30 plays we didn't even talk about.
Okay.
That I just want to get, you know, opinions on or see. Again, I'm loving a whole bunch of team totals, which as usual, but. I can't disagree with you more. Northwestern sucks.
Okay. We'll see what happens. I heard what you said about Utah and BYU last week. I'll take that side. I'm good.
we can both
be winners here.
Yeah. Money line. Like I said, Utah, I mean, BYU, I had that money line. Same thing I'm doing. I agree. And Jalen Daniels and then Neal, their running back, can really give BYU problems because they give up chunk plays. And Daniels, if you think back at the beginning of the year, Kansas was supposed to be a whole heck of a lot better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They beat themselves three straight games.
They're only a couple of bounces away from being 7-2.
I can't remember. I think that the Utah game, since you had the money line, it wasn't the first one. I think there was one other time this year where we were oppo. Like, I don't know, maybe I had +4.5 and someone had -2.5 and we landed. So we can middle it again. I'm fine with that.
But I am marking the tape at 33 minutes and 43 seconds where I can stick it back in Kai's face at the end of the week. All right, there we go. All right, we're good to go. Yeah.
And I think Winnipeg, like you talked about when we were talking on the tape. Yep.
They went down last night.
That reversal and that thing, I think they're about to come back down to earth.
That's exactly what I think. They're going to lose four out of their next five
games, and I think they may lose four of them.
Yeah, we were just a little early, and I kind of hate that because I don't like the Rangers. I think the Rangers have been overvalued a lot this year, so I don't like that that was the time I jumped in. And I guess I tried to get on the Lightning last night. I was just a little slow. I wish I still
would. Yeah, I had my fingers on the keyboard yesterday, and I said, I'm not going to do it again. But but I was not surprised because Tampa Bay, even though they're not the team they were 5 or 6 years ago when they were dominant, still in that place is tough to beat. So I was not the least bit surprised that the peg finally got pegged last night. I think they're going to go on a little bit of a slide. They're just not that talented.
Yeah, just Hellebuck's just a cheat code, though. He's such a good goalie. But I agree, skater-wise, I just feel like they're kind of in the middle of the pack. But we'll see.
All right, guys. Hey, appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya, fellas.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.